And the next question we have is, I know that it is not profitable for someone to speak out in a Sunday morning meeting in tongues, because that may cause confusion, and God is not the author of confusion. But what about in one's own personal prayer life to God? I know it's not profitable for someone to speak out in a Sunday morning meeting in tongues, because that may cause confusion, and God is not the author of confusion. But what about doing this in one's personal prayer life?
John, I know you're sitting here, and I think you could help.
I'm enjoying it, brother. Go ahead.
The first question that would come to my mind, personally, is very simply, are there those who either audibly or personally can speak in tongues today? That is the question that comes to my mind. And I'm reading from 1 Corinthians 13, 8. I'll read that verse for you, and maybe we can discuss it a little. Love never faileth. Whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Now let's ask ourselves, what does it mean for a prophecy to fail? The sense of that verse is that the prophecy itself has been completed. That's my understanding of it. The prophecy that was given at a time before has now seen the events that have been taking place, and that is the sense in which the prophecy has failed, not that it did not come true. Now, that prophecy was linked with events themselves that would take place that would mean, in fact, that it was done. It was linked to something else. It's not the same for the next verse, for the next part. Whether there be tongues, these tongues are not linked with anything else. It's in the intransitive form there. They would cease in and of themselves. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. So I go back and I ask myself, you ask yourself, why did God give tongues to begin with? What was the purpose of tongues in the Word of God? 1 Corinthians 14, verse 22. Wherefore, tongues are for a sign. That's number one. When they were used in their right way, they are for a sign. And I might say, well, are they for believers? And the Spirit of God says, I'm glad you asked that question. No, they're not. They're not for a sign to them that believe. But they were a sign to those that believe not. They were a road post. They were on their way. It was the beginning of a new dispensation. And the Spirit of God used healing and tongues and the various other miracles that we see in the beginning of that dispensation to point to that which had just been formed upon this earth. Now, am I living today in the beginning of the dispensation? Am I now living where God would still be using what He used at the beginning? No, I'm living at the end of the dispensation. Every dispensation in the Word of God began with miracles, and they, every one of them, ended in judgment. I think it's not without significance that we find, even in the book of Acts, toward the end of the book, a total decline of the use of tongues. So others can say what they would think.
I think it's a very good question.
That's right.
It's a very good question, and I think the person that wrote it understand the matter of confusion. So the person said that I'm not going to pray in foreign language. That's what tongue is.
It's a foreign publicly. Language.
Okay, publicly. So if I get up now and I start praying in Egyptian, I could do that. It's a language. It's a known language. But if I do it publicly now for all of you, probably maybe a couple of guys will understand. The rest of you are not going to know what I'm talking about. I'll be babbling to you. Okay? So I would not do something like that with a known language, with a foreign language, because it's not going to be for edifying. It's not going to do anything. And the person that wrote the question agreed with that. But then he comes to the second part. He said, I am going to do it privately. Let me read a verse to you, because apparently in Corinth, somebody asked that question. Scripture gives us the answer right there to that question. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Okay? Verse 14. And I'm going to read verse 14 and verse 15. For if I pray in unknown tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. So, what then? What is it then? What do I do? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with understanding. So, if I know, let's say, I cannot speak English very well. I cannot express my thoughts to the Lord privately in English. Well, I could pray in my native tongue, privately. And that will be praying with the Spirit and with understanding, because I know what I'm talking about. I'm not just babbling stuff. I know what I'm talking about. I cannot express it privately to the Lord in English, so I'm using a different language. That's a language, a known language, not any babble. So, if the person that is asking a question about, because, you know, the world is now very close to each other, people travel from place to place, and sometimes you cannot speak English, so you want to do it privately to the Lord, but you know what you're talking about, sure, you could do that. Now, if you're talking about babbling and talking just some stuff that is not a known language, there is no such thing in the Scripture. There is no such a thing. They spoke with tongue. They spoke with language that was known, that people understood what these people are talking about. What you hear and you see now, and this is just nonsense. People are just babbling and saying there's no language. And it's working up of the body, and your mind starts and your tongue starts stuttering and saying stuff, and while I'm speaking, that's not what the Scripture, Christianity, God is the author. God is not the author of confusion. So, if I cannot speak English here, I will be quiet, because nobody will understand unless somebody could translate to me. And privately, if I could not express, because I don't have the power of the language, I could not express my thoughts to the Lord in English, because I could express it better in a different language, that is known language, and I know what I'm saying, then I will express it to the Lord.
Very often today, you question what the objective is in the entire movement around tongues. And as Emil said, in a practical way, if there's a language barrier, but yet you can communicate clearly to God in your own mind, that is well within the realms of Scripture. But for me to go into the quietness of my closet and to conjure up some foreign sounds, thinking that it is drawing me closer to God or it has some spiritual oomph or emphasis behind it, persons are misled. God does not recognize that at all. It says it was for a sign for those that believe not. And it was a manifestation of the glory and the power of God in the early church, specifically to Israel, because if you remember when the Lord was here, he said, you're always looking for a sign, because that's how God spoke to Israel, right? There were great, marvelous works that God always wrought at the beginning of bringing in something new, in particular to Israel. And at the beginning of the church age, and we had a little bit with Philip, where you had the outpouring of the Spirit to the Jews first, you had the Samaritans, you had the disciples of John, and then there was another company, a fourth company that the Spirit was poured down upon. It was to demonstrate that God was in this thing that was now coming out. Oh. And it's not for us just to go off in our corners and, you know, you work yourself up, and so we're just talking about emotions and feelings. That is a trick of the enemy, to think that anything that is energized by me naturally is going to satisfy God. Well, it won't ever come.
It's with the spirit and with understanding. I have to understand what I'm uttering. You might not, because the language, you don't know the language. But I have to know, even privately, when I speak into the Lord. I don't just babble stuff and said, well, right, I don't know what I'm talking about. That is not what the Word of God is saying. He said, you pray with the understanding.
We want to be sensitive that very often those who purport this matter of speaking in tongues are essentially saying that they've got something special.
Sure.
Something very special from God, which every believer doesn't have. And until you get this special language, you're not really in the power of the Spirit. And I think we want to be very, very guarded about that. That there is nothing special to get other than what every believer and whatever is available to every believer. So again, the emphasis on this as a language and not some gibberish that's uttered and babbled across to make you look impressive, that you've got some heavenly language supposedly. That is not the case.
That's an excellent point, Dave, because that is what we had in Acts with the outpouring of the Spirit.
Yes.
Lest the Jews thought that they had something completely different and special than the Samaritans who were believers. The same manifestation was given. You saw some of the same signs and wonders, and the same thing fell upon the disciples of John. God is not one that's going to set just a special group up and leave the rest of us for whom his son has died in the lurch.
I mentioned this at Eastern Bible, but I think perhaps in the light of this conversation it's worth mentioning again. Some years ago, Daniel Patterson, who some here know, others have perhaps heard of him, an older brother from England who frequented our early Eastern Bible conferences many times, the late, 60s, 70s, and early 80s. He was visiting in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, and the brother took him to the college where there was a group of people, and they were speaking in tongues, supposedly, and they wanted to challenge him on this. And what he reminded them then is the thing that we always have to remind ourselves of today, that there is a source of power behind that present false movement that has gone not just meeting-wide, but church-wide. The professing church has been affected. We know that. There's hardly a sect or denomination that you can name that has not been affected by this so-called phenomenon of speaking in tongues. And what he said then, which reported to me, it stuck with me. He said this, remember, if the source is not the Spirit of God, it's from the pit. Well, that's solemn to think that I might be coming in contact with a world that I want nothing to do with. If it's not from the Spirit of God, it's from the pit. He wasn't well received amongst those that he was speaking with. And yet he still set the truth of the Word of God before them. And it's something that we always need to remember, that if the Spirit of God is not the one that is energizing, and I verily personally believe that, if I don't know whether any of you have ever been around any of these so-called meetings where they speak in tongues. I've only been in the area, driving by, and it was frightening. It was frightening, the noise and the commotion that was coming from that building. And then I realized what was going on. I didn't want to go in, and I didn't go in. Others have gone in to observe just to see what it was like. I don't recommend that you do that.
Confusion.
Yeah.